Welcome. Trumpula is sucking the life out of the globalist agendas. Welcome. This program is This Present Truth. I am Rick Rodriguez, your host. The 14th of January, 2026. This is hour two. Trumpula, Donald Trump, destroying the old world order. Okay, and my website for the programs, thispresenttruth.com. And then you have an option of the This Present Truth programs, or the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry programs. So, as I was saying in the first hour, Donald Trump is a unique, he's now become a very unique how did I phrase it? He is pushing, he is interfering with the globalist plans. I'll explain myself. So this was out of Reuters yesterday. Pretty current. Trump's exercise of raw power upends world order, sending friends and foes reeling. This is by Matt Spetelnik, John Getty, and Antoni Slodkowski. This is about Donald Trump. And I'm going to quote and then comment. This was out of to Washington, Tokyo, London, Beijing, Mexico City, the 13th of January, 2026. Trump has toppled Venezuela's leader, vowed to control its vast oil reserves, threatened other Latin American countries with similar military action, talked openly about annexing Greenland. We see what has happened in the last week concerning Greenland, even by force. We have a new creature. Beyond the Western Hemisphere, he's also warned Iran that the U.S. could strike it again. And then what did Trump do with the riots taking place in Iran? Trump did hit. He hit militarily. He bombed a few places. Trump is causing great confusion in the camp of the globalists. He has them so off balance that they're having a hard time recovering from everything that he's doing, not just on one front, but in Iran, with what's happening in Greenland. Right now, it's a little bit quiet in the Middle East, other than, well, he just hit these bases. What was it, 35 targets in Syria about, what, 5 days ago? Then what's happening in South America. Then with the president of Mexico. So Trump is ushering a new year, ushering in the new year with the flurry of aggressive moves, fiery rhetoric. Days before the first anniversary of his inauguration, Trump has taken, I'm calling him Trumpula, has taken a wrecking ball to the rules-based global order, which I talked about in the previous hour, that the U.S. helped build from the ashes of World War II. Again, he's leaving the world reeling, friends, foes. Many are uncertain of what Trump will do next, whether the latest changes will be long-lasting or can be undone by a more traditional future U.S. president. Already, they're looking out 3 years to the presidential election 2028, which I have repeatedly stated, I don't believe will take place. I'm not even sure there's going to be midterm elections this year. So they were expecting Trump, when he returned to office, it would be, oh, just like a, you know, these, you have a buildup of all these massive clouds, and then you get some virga. It looks like it's going to rain, and the moisture is carried back up into the cloud. Now, there, these nations are not used to what they're saying. They're tasting the raw American power. When it bombed Iran's nuclear sites in June, and then on January the 3rd on Venezuela. So Trump, these people are realizing that Trump may intervene again, especially in the our hemisphere. His America First agenda, which Donald Trump is making it very clear to the globalists, to his enemies within and without, even in his own administration. He's going to do what is necessary to help the American people. You know what he did with BlackRock and the other home building company here in this country? He just told them they are no longer allowed to buy single-family dwellings. They're buying up all of the new dwellings, the new homes being built, trying to capture the whole housing market. And he just told them no. It's not going to happen. So who's he helping? The globalists? BlackRock? What was the other one? I can't remember. I'll find it. He's helping the American people. Then also, he tells the American people that what he's going to do in Argentina, or in Venezuela, he's going to basically update all of the oil production, all the manufacturing capabilities, the derricks. He's going to update everything. Well, what does ExxonMobil say? They say that they don't think it's going to be, you know, profitable to invest that kind of money in Venezuela. ExxonMobil, the CEO Darren Woods, he says that Venezuela is uninvestable. Significant changes have to be made to those commercial frameworks, the legal system. There has to be a durable investment protections. There needs to be a rewrite of the laws governing oil production in Venezuela. That's what that's his response to Trump saying that they're going to begin to, you know, update the facilities, just the whole process, the capabilities. Then Trump didn't like that. He says that, I didn't like Exxon's response. You know, we have so many that want it. I'd probably be inclined to keep Exxon out. They're playing too cute. Trump's not taking it. And Exxon is a Rockefeller company. Yeah, it's supposedly investor-owned. No. Rockefeller's no better than to give away a great, they put in the Standard Oil. They did all the drilling, exploration. They found out what's available as far as the billions of barrels of oil. No, it's an investment. They're not going to give up on that kind of investment. They're not going to just walk away. After this operation in Venezuela, there are some of the allies, U.S.'s allies, that are concerned about what Trump is doing to undo this world order they've had since the World War II. Basically, stability with America controlling, pulling the strings, directing its policies. Now, all of a sudden, with Donald Trump's new direction, it's interfering and it's causing them concern, because he's moving away from that old system. Now, so what was at stake, according to the article, is an international system that has taken shape over the past 8 decades, which was largely the way in which the United States was able to control and direct the internationally what was best for the United States without causing too much conflict worldwide. But now, with Donald Trump and the new direction he's taking, with more of a unipolar plan, anti-rules-based order, multilateralism, liberal international order, Trump he's pushing back against what has been to a whole new direction for this country. European leaders are concerned that Trump isn't going to help. He doesn't have the willingness to defend Ukraine against Russia. Emmanuel Macron again is saying that Trump is interfering with this international order that's been in place for 80 years. German President Frank Steinmeier, he said that the United States, he's accusing the U.S. of a breakdown of values. Whose values? European values, not American values. And the German president says that we're not going to let the international order disintegrate into a den of robbers. Well, who's the den of robbers? They're the den of thieves, not Trump and his administration. What they do is what they accuse others of being, what they are. They accuse others of theft. That's what they do. They steal. Then Trump last Friday, he says the United States needs to own the Arctic island, which is Greenland, to prevent Russia or China from occupying it. And in his first administration, about 2018, he had already, at that time, he caused a ruckus, stating then that the U.S. was going to purchase Greenland. Eventually, Trump, we are going to get Greenland. We need Greenland for the next administration. The next administration Trump is setting up is setting the table. That's the way I can phrase it. He is setting up the table for all of the individuals that are coming to use what Trump is setting up with all these new investments in AI, high tech. They're going to use it. They don't have the ability to set the table. to position the table, to set the chairs at the table. But Trump is setting up the coming administration to dominate, to rule, to destroy the world. Does Trump realize what he's doing? Donald believes that he'll set the table so that he will be able to protect the people of the United States from these enemies without, from the adversaries within. And if you could say, if things were left alone, if the Bible prophecies didn't come into play, Donald Trump would bring in a golden age. But like I've stated many times, the golden age is not for Donald Trump. It is for the Lord Jesus Christ. He will set up his kingdom, and he will give the nations the territories that they originally were to oversee before the superpowers going back 500 years wanted to take what didn't belong to them. Nations are going to get their own boundaries once again. And he has the ability to, you might say, build the ship and give the ship the coordinates into the future. But he's really setting this up for the new administration. So the allies, they're trying to safeguard all of their interests. They're already taking safeguard steps to safeguard their old objectives, their systems. They're very concerned. There's this a lawmaker and a defense minister out of Japan who wrote on X, he said, that this U.S. operation in Venezuela is a clear example of changing the status quo by force. Some in that old order are saying that what Trump is doing is not going to, it's not going to change a thing. They don't believe, they're not accepting that what Trump is doing is going to change anything. Well, he is changing things without and within. Presently, the nations in North Central America and South America, even Mexico, they're being very careful, treating this in a very gingerly, because they know it would be better not to provoke Donald Trump to action, because right now he knows what he wants and he knows what is best for the American people in our hemisphere, and this is what makes Donald Trump so dangerous to these globalists that are so used to directing and controlling everything. The reins are no longer in their hands. And this is something that they're not used to. We dictate what's going to happen in the Middle East, these globalists. They've always stated, we will direct what happens in Asia, Africa, South America, Central America, European countries, the Western, Central, and Eastern European countries, and Russia. And they're not used to somebody else telling them, this is what's going to happen. This is what you can do. This is what you're not going to do. This is what's going to happen. We're going to make sure you nations in Europe, you've condemned Maduro coming to power in Venezuela. You did nothing about it. But I go in, I remove him from power, change the government, and now you scream that I'm a dictator. That's what they basically are thinking. And then, Trump, we want you. America has always backed us 100% in anything that we would want to do in NATO, when we want to change the structure of the countries in Europe, whether it be in the old Yugoslavia or Bosnia. We always support change in Syria or in Lebanon, in Libya. These people, when they want to cause war, they do. They create wars. Trump is doing something completely different, and they don't know what to do. Why I repeatedly say Donald Trump is not an insider. He never has been an insider. His politics have changed. The direction he was going as a young man, he's completely changed. Trump has sent a clear message to China, to even Russia, Moscow, to Cuba, Havana, to Tehran. He sent a clear message to the nations of the world that the world wants change. It's tired of the people of the nations. You can see the protests in Europe, in Ireland, in Iran, the protesting. Trump starts the immigration. He pushes for these changes in immigration policies. Now what's happened in Europe? All of a sudden, in Europe, now all of these European nations, they've decided, you know what? It's time that we stop bringing people from South Africa, from the Middle East, into our countries. And even Pope, what is the new present Pope? I have Francis on my mind. And the new Pope, he just came out in the last couple of days, and he has basically said something to the effect that he is not as high on these he's not on board with the new immigration policies, allowing these Muslims moving into the European countries. I've got to find the article again. I glanced over it and I should have read it. Pope Leo. And Pope Leo was saying that Trump's policies are inhumane treatment of immigrants. This was on the October 2025. Now he's changing his stance. So the point is that Donald Trump is saying no to multilateralism, to unipolar world orders, to liberal international order, to rules-based order. It was good for the nations, for the United States over the last 80 years, but it's no longer the position of the United States of America. He's changed our position as president, and he has everybody in an uproar. Within the country, the Democrats, you cannot rule the world, you cannot rule this country without the policies that have been in place for the last 80 years. It changes the whole landscape politically within this country. Donald Trump pushing back at the big corporations. Another example, he slammed these banks with an order to cap credit card interest rates at 10%, to cap these interest rates at 10%. And I'm going to quote out of an article. This is from CNBC. Capital One dropped 6%. Other banks hit after Trump calls for credit card rate cap. 10%. He calls for a 10% one-year cap on credit card interest rates. Banks and financial services. The stock slid on Monday after the U.S. President Trump called for a 10% one-year cap on credit card interest rates. Capital One shares dropped 6%. With Synchronicity Financial, their stock tumbled 8%. Citigroup lost 4%. J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America fell 2%, as did Visa and MasterCard. Other financial services named were caught in the downdraft. American Express, they slumped 4%. Wells Fargo declined 2%. So, effective January 20th, 2026, I, as President of the United States, am calling for a one-year cap on credit card interest rates of 10%. Please be informed that we will no longer let the American public be ripped off by credit card companies. A cap would require approval from Congress. There's been long interest in curbing fees. Bipartisan bills to cap credit card interest rates at 10% have previously been introduced. When asked about the Post, Trump said Sunday to reporters, if the banks won't limit rates, they would be in violation of the law. But again, critics, always critics, said over the weekend that Trump's plan, if enacted, would cause banks to pull back on lending, causing many consumers to lose access to credit and dampening personal spending, which accounts for roughly two-thirds of all economic activity. Going into debt. That's my quote, my comment. So, but this is what this president is doing. And these corporations, they don't know how to handle this new creature in the White House. Their only alternative is to remove him from office. Now, with what's happening in Greenland, Donald Trump has an official, his envoy, Jeff Landry, who yesterday stated that Denmark is occupying Greenland in violation of the United Nations rules. Donald Trump has mentioned that one reason the United States is very interested in Greenland is because of China. China has been, with the ports there in Greenland, China's presence has become increased. They're actually, doing mining for rare earth metals. And so the Chinese Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Mao Ning slammed President Trump yesterday for claiming that Russia and China are trying to take over Greenland. And she stated that Beijing does not support the United States using China or Russia as pretext for its own self-interest. And out of Denmark, Chairman Rasmus Jarlov, he says, I'm the head of the Defense Committee in Denmark. I get all relevant information about it. I can assure you that your fantasies about the big threat from China and Russia against Greenland are delusional. You are the threat, not them. So basically, Donald Trump is stating to the globalist world, I will protect the U.S. on the southern side of the hemisphere, on the southern side of the country in Venezuela, and the northern hemisphere, Greenland. Trump's making it very clear what his plans are. They don't know what to do. And then I heard this a couple of days ago also, that Trump has stated there's no more oil or money going to Cuba. Nothing. Zero. Nothing going to Cuba. This is really shaking up these countries in Cuba and Central America. But Mexico is going to be able to provide oil to Cuba. So, but Trump is making it difficult. Then today, Donald Trump signed an executive order. No more secret biolabs, Frankenstein science, Fauci lies, or pandemic experiments on U.S. soil. I think this was signed yesterday, but he signed a sweeping executive order banning all gain-of-function research in the United States. Not just a policy. It's a full-on resolution for public safety. After years of controversy and taxpayer funding, these laboratories that manipulate viruses to become more dangerous for more future pandemic operations are ending. So this president, he is doing quite a bit to what he can to protect the American people. With everything that this president is doing, he's trying to steer the ship out to safe waters to protect the American people from the hardships that would have come with the election of Hillary Clinton or Kamala Harris. It did come with Trump being kept out of office in 2020. The momentum that he had between 2016 and 2020 was more than the globalists could handle. They had to take action. They had to throw the election, swing an election through the ballots, through the ballot voting, these machines. They couldn't allow Trump to have a space of 8 years. It would have completely destroyed their objectives. So by a shadow government coming into power in 21 through this end of this last year, a year ago, till the 2024 election, because that gave them time to continue to work in this country, it gave these individuals in this shadow government the time needed to work with the shadow government, which is kind of pretty much in the open in Europe, and all of these other countries of the world, excluding Russia and China and the BRICS countries. It gave them time that they needed to put in place more concrete for the structure, so to speak. But with Trump coming back again into the presidency, it has once again forced them to, their propulsion system has been offline. So they haven't had the momentum that they did have at the end of the Biden time. But Trump, right now, Donald Trump, he is trying to separate the people of this country from the globalist order and giving American people a little more time through these different laws and bills that he's signing, like to cap interest rates at 10%, to stop any funding of any of these Frankenstein programs within the country, to stop to shut financing going to these 65 different agencies in the UN with Doge hunting the where the hemorrhaging is taking place in the American economy through non-governmental organizations, governmental organizations through the military-industrial complex. He's giving the American people time. We're running out of time. The American people need to prepare for what is coming. As I have stated, there this war in the Middle East right now with Israel, it is just, you might say, halftime. It is going to, the war is going to continue here shortly. Syria is going to get involved, and then Jordan, and then Benjamin Netanyahu will finish the regional campaign to eliminate the terrorist groups that have a common objective to destroy the Jewish people and to eliminate and erase all the history, ethnic cleansing, all history of Israel as a nation, as a people, going back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They won't be able to do it. The war is going to it's just kind of in, not even in a pause. There are things happening, but it's just quieted down to some degree. Just to a degree. Donald Trump, in what he's doing, with the decisions that he's making in Canada or in Greenland, Cuba, Mexico, Venezuela, with the EU nations not funding Ukraine's war with Russia. He's at war with these European leaders. They're at war with him. A coming war with Russia and nations that will move into the Middle East. I still feel this year, I don't know how Russia can hold off into 2026. I think they have to make a decision to move militaries into the Middle East. In the next month or two, there's going to have to be something to begin to develop with Turkey and Russia, Iran. Iran right now is in a state of revolt, and Israel has been basically told, do not do anything in Iran. If anything is going to be done, the United States will take care of it. But in the meantime, Benjamin Netanyahu is preparing for the end of the Gaza conflict, which is a prophecy in the book of Psalms, chapter 83. It is a regional war. It is a war of hatred, hatred of the terrorist groups, of the peoples in a religion that have hated, and family members in the region that have hated the Jewish people, going back to Jacob with his twin brother Esau. Prior to Jacob and Esau having conflict in the following centuries and up to this point, there were enemies in the region that Abraham and his men had and not only Abraham but Isaac, they had enemies in the region. But the conflicts began later when Israel left the wilderness and began to move into the territory that God had given them, which was the ancient land of Canaan, which is the land in which they are presently in. The Gaza war will not finish. This regional war in Psalm 83 will not finish until Israel has all the property, the real estate, the landmass of present-day Jordan. Donald Trump is basically holding things. He's got a finger in the dike, holding back the waters that are going to eventually burst forth into the world, the waters of war, of continued chaos, madness, insanity. It's coming. We can't stop it. Donald Trump can't stop it. The new administration, he is setting up everything needed for this new administration to the what Donald Trump right now, as he moves toward Greenland, as he's moved into Venezuela, he's doing this. He's under basically constraint. He has the discipline to constrain himself. He's not looking at Europe. He's not looking expanding into Africa. He's protecting the United States. The next administration will not have that restraint. Everything that Donald Trump is putting in place, that next administration will use it for evil within the country and internationally. The next administration will be so diabolical, so evil, that it will be hard for the American people to comprehend such madness, insanity, evil, cruelty that is coming to the people of the United States of America. It's not an invasion from without. It is an occupation from within. Donald Trump is putting all the pieces in place. And these pieces that are being put in place, what he's doing is manageable, and he has a restraint to and a purpose behind what he's doing, but it does have boundaries. But what the new administration will do, there are no boundaries. There will be no boundaries. The people that Trump is trying to keep out presently, and he's being successful in doing it, are going to, like, holding back the tide. Eventually, the tide will come in. Donald Trump is not going to go a full 3 more years. I don't know how he's going to make it through this year. If I'm wrong, great. Great. But if I'm correct, then the American people really need to prepare, not just financially in every other way, but it's going to be a mental preparation. It's going to have to be psychological, where one of the strongest, I was reading an article, one of the strongest generations, and before I get into this topic, thispresenttruth.com is the website, thispresenttruth.com. I'm your host again, Rick Rodriguez. My contact information, Rick Rodriguez, Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. Support me if you can financially. I do have the way where on the website You can use your phone, and there's an app or a way to finance me through digital means and also through the mail. Now, going back to this article that I was reading, talking about psychological strength, being able to have the fortitude in the soul to endure what's coming. The Christian people, there is a group within the Christian family that God has given the grace to handle what's coming. It's because they have been faithful to read the Word of God, to pray, they have the fortitude to walk the Christian walk in a proper, righteous way. Then there are other Christians who have never known the deep power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God, what He can supply us with, His power. So, the article was discussing the baby boom generation. And the conclusion was, psychologically, to this point in American history, the baby boom generation children, which would be, let's say, 1960 to 1976, that generation after World War II, up to about 1963, were psychologically some of the strongest they were psychologically stronger than even our parents in World War I or going back to the Civil War. They had to adapt to quite a bit. In the time of the Civil War, it was just a war within the country. World War I, a war overseas. World War II, the Vietnam War. Well, World War II. But in the 60s and 70s, the baby boom generation children, the change was not just war with Vietnam. It was a change in culture, a shift from allowing the black people to work in the culture, the racial to have a change in the thinking concerning accepting other races, with all of the changes that would take place, you know, in, I guess you can say equality, or just accepting that, which the Civil War was kind of there was a black issue, and in the 70s, 60s and 70s, there was a black issue at the same time. I wish I had the article in front of me, but there was a shift concerning segregation, a shift intellectually. The kids were given, at that point, there was some of the best, up until the late mid-70s, some of the best education in the general public for the children for free. There was a change in the computer world, the new technology, the new science. So the baby boom generation children were having to shift because the society was changing so quickly in every way. They had to shift, and they had to keep their balance with each new shift. The death of a president, the death of his brother, the death of a black man, that Martin Luther King, just so many people, there were main figures in this society dying through assassinations. And so the baby boom generation children had to adjust, get their balance, not overreact, not underreact. It was, I'm going to have to look for that article. I wished I'd, I read so much that I read things and I think, well, okay. And I just put it basically deep into deep space. And then all of a sudden I think, oh my gosh, I should have kept it. Well, that's just what we do. But there was a shift in music, some of the most powerful music, not just in new tunes, not just in music, but with lyrics, deep thinking. You look at the lyrics of the music in the baby boom generation. You look not only in this country, but in Europe. The lyrics, young people, 20, 25, putting lyrics in music with profound, like the Birds. There was a song they sang, "To Everything, there is a Reason Under Heaven." Turn, turn, turn. Putting Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the beginning up to verse 20, 21, into music. The lyrics of, you can go to, out of Britain, out of the, you had the Moody Blues, you had the Who, you had Chicago here in this country. These people were, like Chicago, wrote a song, the band Chicago, about the protests and the riots in Chicago at the time in the 70s. And they're taking what is happening in the culture and they're writing about it. They're putting words and lyrics to it. Deep. Thoughtful. Basically, these kids today, they aren't trained with vocals for 2 or 3 years learning how to sing, or with instruments. They're using tech. They're using AI, but it was all digital. It was all on a computer board. The psychological profile of the baby boom generation, they were different. They were being forced to adapt to so much so quickly. Our parents that went into the war in Germany, it was brutal, but it was just a short period of time, 3-4 years. But the baby boom generation children starting in the 60s and the changes in the late 50s and the changes in the mid 50s, all the way into the 60s, into the 70s, into the 80s, the transformation of everything, just the computers. Now these young people are going into, from reading and writing by hand, they could do typewriters, but now they're going into a completely new way in which to communicate. Then it gets more sophisticated eventually. But psychologically, I don't remember who did the analysis of the psychological profiling of the baby boom generation children. But they, according to the article, I'm going to look for it. It was that group of people in the United States of America. Wasn't happening just basically in Europe. It was centered in the United States of America, not in England, not in Germany, not even in Israel. It was centered in the United States of America. And for some reason, in the way they do their psychological testing, profiling, coming to these, in their findings to their research, I don't know how they do that, but they studied the baby boom generation children, which were pretty sound. But then as you come up to the present, they're less stable psychologically. They are more unstable, which we can see the evidence of it presently by looking at our culture. What's coming in the future to the Christian people and the non-Christian people? What is coming is not going to fit in your thinking. This, what is coming, you are not going to be able to process in your mind the change that is coming after Donald Trump is removed or released by God from his position as president of this country. What comes after Donald Trump? If you think the society is insane and mad, crazy, psychologically unbalanced presently, you will not be able to process what is coming in the future in America, in the United States. You look at what's happening. I view on the news what's happening in Ireland with the protests, in France, all over Europe. And it's unbelievable what these people are going through. And the American people are delicate. We are tender. We are, you know, we're like a dandelion. You get the little golf club on the end of a stick with the dandelion. A little breeze comes and boom. Or the little, right. And they're carried off into the wind. God is going, the power of God, that Paul the Apostle stated, that I might know Christ and the power of his might, that we might know the power of his might. This is what we're going to have to, this is where America's headed. The hope for the people in America is we still have, at the present time, the ability to present to the society the teachings of Jesus Christ, his teachings, the teachings of the Bible, presently. And not just so we have a historical view of the past, but that we see what God brought with his Messiah being born into this world and his dying and his breathing into a group of people the night of the resurrection, his Holy Spirit, breathing his Holy Spirit into them, which eventually equates and eventually develops into the seven lampstands of God in Revelation chapter 1. The seven lampstands, the seven churches. These seven churches in America, all of some within each of these seven main church lampstands, are going to come alive in the United States of America, and they are going to be what God is going to use to give hope to this society. Worldwide also, not just America. So, thispresenttruth.com. Rick Rodriguez, Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. So, and then, again, this is the 14th of January, 2026. I will continue to give you insight into what is coming, what you're going to need to prepare for. So, for now, may the power of the Holy Spirit, may the grace of God be with you all. God bless you.